This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yep. Here we are. Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. So today, hour number one, we're going to be talking about gasoline-powered engines, lawnmowers, chainsaws, rototillers, because we know that when you go to pull that cord, the odds are, against you, that engine's probably not going to start. So I'm going to tell you what to do about it. That's one thing. So that's chainsaws, rototillers, lawnmowers, weed whackers, you know, all those gas-powered outdoor equipment engines. And we're going to talk about spark plugs, what you need to know about them, and carburetors, and how you can repair these things yourself. We're not going to tease you. We're going to tell you what to do. Also, hour number two, Bert's going to be with us. We're going to be talking about 5G, the hype, the ruse, and the propaganda. And who's running the propaganda machine and why? So that's hour number two. Kyle's with us for hour number one. Welcome, Kyle.
Good morning. How are you, Vincenzo? I love that name, by the way.
Very well. And Kyle, since you mentioned cars... I have a little detour I'd like to mention. This is a phenomenon that we've seen at our automotive shop. This is I don't know if you've run into this yet, but here's what it is. General Motors vehicles, 2000, mid 2000, like 2005, 6, 7, and newer. We're finding that there are oil leaks. The engines are leaking oil like we've never seen before. This is a new phenomenon. And we're not exactly sure what the cause is, but we know what the what is. It's leaking. They're leaking. And we're not exactly sure why, but we know the what. And so here's some thoughts. What we're seeing is vehicles are coming in and they're low on oil. You know, it's not that hard to check your oil, but, you know, down a quart and a half is kind of a lot. Down 2 quarts, down 2.5 quarts, you know, and they come in for an oil change. That's one piece of the information. Another piece is that it's cold, and maybe people are idling their cars more, you know, to stay warm when they're in them. Prolonged idling. Another thing is that they're waiting longer for oil changes. So when we do an oil change, we'll put a sticker on the window on the inside where you can, you know, see when the next oil change is. And for a conventional oil change, we'll say 3,000 miles. We really mean 4,000, but we know that if we say 3,000, the vehicle come in at 5,500 miles. Okay, so that's why we say 3,000. Right?
That's the truth there, yep.
Yep, and so what happens is I think either for some reason the vehicles come in late. Well, we don't have time, you know, have the oil change, and it takes us a long time. An oil change takes us a couple hours because we let it drip, 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 and we only change the oil when the engine oil is hot. So that's another piece of the puzzle. And here's what I think is happening. And we can't find the leaks. We can't find them. What I think is, and here's a diagnosis that we do, and I'd love to hear your opinions and comments about this. We use an ultraviolet dye that's made to be added to engine oil so that when you put this dye, like 1 ounce of dye, into a crankcase full of oil, when the leak starts, you can use an ultraviolet light and search around for where that leak's coming from. Because what we're finding is the engines are covered with oil, like the front half of the engine and halfway back. So it's not like it's not like the old days, like in the 60s or 70s, when you would see or a valve cover leaking, and the oil seep would be so small that the dust from driving down the road, even on a paved road, would the oil would be more like a paste or a putty. It wouldn't be drip, drip, dripping, you know, down the engine like we're seeing now. So we use this ultraviolet dye, and we can't find the leaks. Now, that's crazy. Now, here's what I think it is, and I'd love to hear your comments. I think that the oil filters are getting plugged up and with sludge, and because the oil is becoming thicker, 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 because the oil change is extended way past when it, you know, when the oil contaminant should be drained out of the crankcase. So the oil filters get plugged up. Then the oil pressure goes up, and there's no oil pressure gauge on vehicles today saying this is really high oil pressure. So the drivers don't even know. And the oil is coming out of wherever it can, including the oil filter O-ring slash gasket. And I think it's spraying out all over the engine. The fan picks it up. I'm talking about the radiator fan. It picks it up and blows it so you can't tell where it came from, because now the whole front of the engine is covered with oil. Kyle, have you seen this phenomenon, or is it just because is it just us, because we're seeing that people are not changing their oil as frequently as you are? You might not have ever seen this, because it does not happen on our personal vehicles. It does not. It's only vehicles that we service for other people. Your comments, please.
Well, I'll go a couple of different ways with this, Vince. I haven't necessarily, I mean, it is, everything you said is absolutely possible. Okay. But you would think that you would be able to see the oil, from, with the dye in it around the oil filter. If it is coming out there. My question is, though, if you're noticing this, are you noticing it on, like, the V6 engines or the 5.3 V8s?
No. We're noticing it on the six-cylinder Trailblazer engines and the Chevrolet Cruze engines. But let me just add one more piece of information. We add the dye not to the existing oil before the change. What we do is, once we see the engines are all covered with oil, we degrease them. So we use a degreaser and clean the engines as best we can, hose them off, etc. Then we change the oil, put a new oil filter in, and then put the dye in with the new oil. And the thought is that now that the oil is thinner, the oil pressure is reduced, the oil filter is clean and new, and the oil pressure is reduced, it's not plugged up, and that's why we can't find the leak.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I would agree that that is quite possible. What I have noticed, and again, like, it's interesting you mentioned those years, 5, 6, 7, and newer. It seems to me like General Motors has cheapened the V6 engine, or continuously seeks for ways to cheapen those engines. I haven't seen hardly any problems with the bigger V8s, like the 6-liter or the 8.1. But I have seen it, and I have also seen it, by the way. It's interesting. General Motors is not the only culprit here. I've seen it in Chrysler's, Jeeps, with the V6 engines, and I have also seen it in lots of Fords with the V6 engines. In fact, for a long time when I worked for a Ford company, we would see that leaking of those V6 engines and stuff back in the late 90s even. We were seeing that kind of stuff where you just it seemed like the oil was coming out from any spot that it could get. You know, it's just the weirdest thing. But yes, I have seen that. I agree with you. Putting the dye in there is an excellent method to be able to figure out what in the world to go to next if somebody is down that low. Because, you know, people think about it. If it takes the 5 quarts and you're down two-fifths of your lubricating power and somewhat of the cooling of the engine, is gone.
Right, right. So here's my recommendation. I'd love to hear your comments about this. So I met with our son this morning for breakfast, and I said, so what are your thoughts? And he came up with exactly the same thing that I did. So a conventional oil change, regardless of what the manufacturer says, regardless, whether they say 7,500 miles or 5,000 miles, our number is 4,000 miles maximum. That's it, period. That's it. And for a full synthetic oil, that's not blended, that's full synthetic, 5,000 miles maximum duration between oil changes. And what I do for my vehicles, I buy a lot of oil filters, and I buy them in such quantities that I probably pay one-third the price that, you know, most people would pay, maybe even a quarter the price. So I might buy 100 of them at a time. And I can, because I can buy them in bulk and because we use a lot of them, even for our customers, we buy them so inexpensively that I am willing to change the oil filter halfway. So what I'm saying is, if I'm going to go 4,000 miles between oil changes, I might change the oil filter at 2,000 miles. And I do that on our tractors. So I change the oil filter halfway through the oil change interval. And the oil change interval is shorter than the manufacturer recommends. So if they recommend 5,000, I'm at 4,000. And if they recommend the oil filter at 5,000 and oil change at 5,000, I do the oil change at 4,000 and I do the oil change, oil filter change halfway through at 2,000 miles. So, or at 2,500 miles if it's a full synthetic. That's what I do. And we don't have any of these leaks. We don't have any of these problems. So for a couple dollar oil filter, it seems crazy to me to not do that. Your comments, Kyle.
Oh, I agree with you. And, you know, especially I know lots of guys. Actually, I've only known one guy that does exactly what you said on his diesel truck. These diesel guys, a lot of them that I know around here anyway, they will just put that synthetic in there and they'll run it 10,000 miles and they might change the filter out at 5,000 or 6,000. But when I've had a couple of Chevy diesels, one 6.5 and one 6.2, and I don't know about you, Vince, but when I would literally let the oil run out of that thing and drain and drain and drain on the diesel, and you would go ahead then and put new oil in and a new oil filter in and start it, and by the time I drove, you know, 100, 150 miles, that oil's almost black again. It was, to me, it's just like if I had a diesel anymore, they're not that practical. I don't have a need for something that pulls that heavy, and so I don't have a diesel anymore. But it's like, I don't know why, but the oil would just get black, and I mean, it would get black quick. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I never did understand why that would happen. Do you know?
Yes. It's the type of combustion chamber that the diesels have. Now, the older diesel engines, including Mercedes, I'm talking about, in the early 80s and older than that, the combustion chamber was shaped such that the actual explosion was dirtier. The newer shaped combustion chambers are shaped so that there's less soot. Now, if you were to change the engine oil on a 1983, for example, Mercedes 300 diesel, within 100 miles, the oil would be black. No question about it. If you were to do the same thing on my 1996 Mercedes, it would not be.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the GOLD Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
We're talking about this phenomenon that we've experienced here at the farm. At our automotive shop with vehicles leaking engine oil. And I believe it's because of the increased pressure from not changing the oil frequently enough. So we use this leak detector dye, which shows brightly yellow with ultraviolet light. Now, if you're going to use an ultraviolet light, never look at it. Never look at it directly, because it can blind you. So that's one caution. Kyle, to answer your question a little more completely about why the oil is black when you change a diesel engine crankcase oil, there are different locations for engine oil coolers. And the idea is that diesel engines usually pull a heavy load, and there are additional coolers on the engine that run with rubber hoses and metal lines to the area where the radiator is. So what happens is the cool air coming across the grill of the front of the vehicle will cool this another radiator, if you want to call it that. It's an oil cooler, and return that cooler oil back to the engine. Well, typically they're not placed where they will fully drain. So you might have about a half a quart or so of oil, dirty black engine oil, that does not get drained when you change the diesel engine oil. So you might have an extra half a quart in the system because it doesn't drain fully from the engine oil cooler, and that half a quart gets mixed with the clean oil, and you run the vehicle for 100 miles and that half a quart of black oil mixes, and sure enough, it looks like you didn't even change the oil. you know. And that is common on the Chevrolet 6.5 turbo diesels from the mid-90s. That happens 100% of the time with them. So those are a few of my thoughts. Now, Mercedes has an engine oil cooler, and it's not air-cooled. It's liquid-cooled. So they use the coolant from the radiator through a smaller heat exchanger, and it's high up near the oil filter. So that will drain much, much better, and you won't get that, you know, dirty engine oil staying in the engine when you change your engine oil. Any further questions or comments about that?
No, that's fine. I was just, we've been at a really short segment here, but I would, and next segment's a long one. We should get the small engine thing. But I was just wondering if you heard the good news for farmers in that new stimulus package.
We've been omitted.
Well, you have.
Okay.
But if you're a minority, you haven't.
Well, okay. What do I have to do? I have to have gender reassignment. What do I have to do to qualify?
Well, it's in the new bill that if you are a non-white farmer, you have a USDA loan, you get $100,000 of that loan forgiven and $20,000 cash.
Worse.
But you have to be non-white. I don't know if you can change that quick, but you'd have to be non-white to get it.
I might actually fight this because that frosts me. Because the government needs to really apply whatever it is uniformly, whether it be taxes or benefits, without prejudice. And that is prejudice. That is, I believe that's unconstitutional, and that absolutely frosts me because that gives everybody else, they can buy a free farm. A free farm.
Yep. I agree. It's like I told a friend of mine, the reality is if you want to take this country down, the white male is right in the crosshairs, and that's what they have their crosshairs on. And this, you think they called it, there was something I saw flash on the TV the other day, at my mom's house, I think it was, and it said the Great Restructuring. And it just flashed for a second, and I haven't seen it since because I'm not around any TVs. But the Great Restructuring, well, you think about it. If they don't alleviate USDA loans on white farmers, where does the entire burden of the repayment and interest and taxes come from? White farmers, and everybody else gets a free pass.
I'm absolutely livid. It's a good thing we have a bottom of the hour break. I'll let my blood pressure settle down. It really makes me angry, Kyle. I'm not kidding. It's not fair.
Yeah.
We're killing ourselves so that others can have a free ride. Now, I don't have a problem with minorities, but I have a problem with people getting the advantage. And why? Why? What did we do and what did they do?
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden announced in an address to the nation Thursday that he is directing states, tribes, and territories to ensure everyone is eligible for COVID-19 vaccination by May 1st. Thanks to President Trump's Operation Warp Speed and 3 coronavirus vaccines in record time, that will be achievable. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's alleged mistreatment of women is moving up the legal chain. Thursday, the Albany Police Department got involved in the case, focusing on the sixth accuser that Cuomo allegedly groped at the governor's mansion. As the list of lawmakers telling Cuomo to resign from office continues to grow, Mr. Cuomo said he won't, and he has done nothing wrong. It could become a crime to taunt a police officer in Kentucky under a bill that passed the state Senate. The bill passed the Kentucky Senate 2211 on Thursday and now awaits House input. Under the legislation, anyone who accosts, insults, taunts, or challenges a law enforcement officer could face up to 90 days in jail and fines. USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
There are plenty of complaints about the coronavirus stimulus package. It will cost too much. Why not cut out half the pork and give Americans $2,800 checks? But there are some good aspects. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Going a little bit more in depth on one of our top stories of the day, the House securing final passage of the $1.9 trillion coronavirus aid bill. The legislation does provide a new round of $1,400 stimulus checks, enhanced unemployment benefits, and expanded child tax credits. President Biden signing the bill Thursday. As far as how the bill will help working class Americans, DNC Chairman James Harrison tells CNN,
this bill is going to have a dramatic impact on the lives of low-income kids across this country. They say about 93% of children in this country will have be impacted because of this. I mean, just think about it, Don. We are increasing the child tax credit in this bill from $2,000. You got a kid like mine that's under the age of six. I got a two-year-old. That will go from $2,000 to $3,600 for a poor family that is struggling right now because of COVID. That's a game changer. There's so many provisions in this bill that's going to make life easier for a lot of low-income and working people in this country.
Thanks for listening. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This can be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Watch it.
God, you're
take my
when you go to
the
for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Okay, so Kyle, we've got some of our class. They're going to go out. And I'm not picking on your class because you may not know this and the reasons why. But so, Kyle, our students go out and they want to start that rototiller and get that garden tilled so they can start planting. They want to get their lawnmower ready so that they can pull that cord and start that engine. Or they want to use that chainsaw to clean up some of the debris from the winter. What do you think the odds are, you know, what, just generally speaking, that that engine's going to start after being stored for the winter? What do you think for most people? Not for you, not for me, but for most people. What do you think the likelihood of that engine starting?
Pushing maybe 2%.
Right.
Yeah, it's very small. And in actuality, you want me to run with this for a little bit, Vince?
You bet. You bet.
Okay. So in actuality, you in my opinion, you have to look at the four-stroke engines and two-stroke engines differently in many respects. But this you have to know. For any engine to run, you've got to have air, you've got to have combustion, you got to have spark, and you got to have fuel. And with all of these engines, they have to have a way to cool. So the first thing that I would do if you've had your rototiller, lawnmower, those type of four-stroke engines stored in some kind of a small shop or barn or something like that, you need to make sure that take the cowling, the top of the cowling, there's usually four or five screws holding that on, and look in there and make sure, unless you can see in there really well, and make sure there's not any mice nests up in under that cowling, because it's a perfect place for them to put their little nests up in there. And if you have a mouse nest under there, even if your engine starts and it's laying against your exhaust, you could end up with a fire. So that's the first thing you want to do, in my opinion. Then I think you need to check and or, personally, I change my oil. But you just need to drain the oil out and change it, put fresh oil in there for the year. And unless you're using it a huge amount, that should get you by all year long, which most of those are just, you know, unless you're mowing an acre or something, you know, every 2 weeks, you probably don't need to change your oil again. But if you're mowing a constant amount, then you probably should change your oil more often. Anyway, I am, as you know, a big proponent of a product called Seafoam. There are other good products. There is one called Startron, and there is one called PRI. And if you have PRI-G, that's a gas additive. If you have PRI-D, that is a diesel additive. Most of the rototillers and stuff like that, though, are not diesel. There's very few of those old ones around that I know of. But in any case, most of them, let's just deal with gas. In the fall, before I store my chainsaws, before I store my rototillers or my lawnmower or any of that, I put 1 ounce per gallon of Seafoam in the gasoline. Now, having done that with four-stroke engines, you're fine. I mean, I do that in the fall with my snowblower. I will put 1 ounce, you know, mix it into the gasoline, and I'll put it in there and run that and make sure. I run it through the engine all the time, but I make sure of it before I store these, because the difference that it makes is immense as far as being able to start these things in the spring, or if you need a snowblower to start them in the fall. I always fire the snowblowers up before winter, though, and make sure that they'll run good and everything's looking good. Before you need them, you know, if you wait till you need it and it don't start, then you're in it, you know, you're in up that fabulous stream without a paddle. That's just to get us started a little bit. Where do you go, Vince?
Okay. One of the things that I do is, before I put the equipment away, for the season, I will, like, let's say it's a rototiller. We've got a rototiller. We're using it right now. And we judge about how much gasoline we're going to need to finish the job. And then we try to run that rototiller out of fuel so we can put it away. So there's no gasoline in the tank and no gasoline in the carburetor fuel bowl. Because gasoline today, you can buy two different kinds, or three different kinds. You can buy, you know, the premium, which would, you know, we'll call it the high test, the old term, or the regular. Or you can buy just pure gasoline. So the typical gas that you buy at the gas pump for your car has 10% ethanol. That 10% alcohol, the ethanol alcohol, will destroy your fuel system on your riding lawnmower, on Amen. Your garden tractor, on your rototiller, on your chainsaw, on your push lawnmower, on your self-propelled lawnmower. It will destroy it if it sits there over the winter. So you got to get it out of there. That's one thing. The other thing you can do is you could buy just gasoline without the ethanol. But I'm not sure, even if it says at the pump, no ethanol, I don't even know if I would trust that. So I run all of our equipment out of fuel, and that way they will start without a problem in terms of the carburation part next time I go to put fuel in it. So I called Troy Bilton, and I said, so what's up with these carburetors? And I said, oh, they're a replacement item. That's a maintenance item. You change the spark plugs, you change the air filter, you change the fuel filter, and you change the carburetor. And I said, how much is that? Like $75. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. Carburetor is not a maintenance item. But it is because your government requires 10% ethanol be added to your gasoline. So don't use or don't leave that fuel in the tank and in the carburetor. So that's one thing. Next thing is, you mentioned mice, and there are mice and there are wasps and bees, and they like to set up nests, and the air cleaner is a good place too. So open up the air cleaner housing and make sure there's no mice chewing in there. And so if you go to pull that cord, you don't want your engine to swallow, mouse poop and mouse debris and mouse dust and et cetera. So make sure that before you start, open up that air cleaner and look in there. Next thing is, if you do have a problem with your carburetor, Kyle said there's two things, there's spark and there's carburation, okay? And that's true. So the old way of determining, you pull the cord and it won't start, okay? Well, what we do is we pull the spark plug out, use a spark plug wrench, take it out, and then lay the spark plug against the cylinder head. Now, you don't want to hold the spark plug because you're going to get a 25,000 plus volt shock. Maybe more than 25,000, maybe 40,000. And it could stop your heart. So you don't want to do that. So you want to somehow lean that spark plug on a metal part of the engine. And you want to make sure there's no gasoline vapors or gasoline around where that spark can set your engine on fire. And you can pull that cord and look for a blue spark going across the spark plug. And if you see that, that's a good sign. So that's not your problem. Then what you can do is you can... A couple of things. One, you could spray some starting fluid in the combustion chamber, or you can spray it on the air cleaner. Okay, put the air cleaner cover back on, put the spark plug back in, and pull the cord. And if it runs for a short time, then you have a problem with your carburetor. You take your carburetor fuel bowl off, where there's usually one nut that holds the fuel bowl on, and you can then determine how much goo and gum is and debris is in your carburetor fuel bowl. You can clean that out. Spray into the fuel line for the carburetor a carburetor cleaner. And you can buy that at the Chinese factory outlet. Oh, I don't know, 8 or 12 ounce can for a couple dollars, $2 maybe. Spray that into the inlet of the carburetor fuel fitting. And that may clean out your carburetor. Wait, half an hour or so for it to work. Spray it again. Spray underneath the fuel bowl area. And then put it all back together. And use some starting fluid so you don't break your back. And pull the cord. That usually works. If that doesn't work, you buy a carburetor. And how much are carburetors? Well, on eBay, $11 shipped for, Honda engine. I'm talking about a small lawnmower engine. Same price for chainsaw engines. A little more expensive for riding lawnmower. Kyle, your comments?
Yeah, I agree. The other thing you want to check, too, is that if you hook all that up or you put gas in it, let's just say you put gas in it for the to be able to use it in the spring, you want to look underneath there and make sure that your fuel lines are not cracked, because they're notorious for cracking. And or if sometimes there's just a compression fitting where you push the hose onto the carburetor. I have seen it where that kind of in it, that where that goes over those, that little barbed fitting that goes into the carburetor, there is the hose has to stretch slightly. And if you ran ethanol gasoline for sure through that, it tends to eat up rubber. Personally, I never run any ethanol through my chainsaws, through any of my small engines, and I always use seafoam in mine to treat the gas. But And I haven't had any of those issues. The other thing to look at and think about is if you do take the carburetor bowl off, usually that's a 13 millimeter or half inch socket, excuse me, and you drop that and you find debris in there, you want to look at the little round thing that's hanging there. That's the float. That should hang down at about, I'm guessing here, but about a 20-degree angle. If it just is barely hanging down and barely moving in there, I'm talking like, you know, eighth or 3/16 of an inch. If it's just barely moving in there, you've got something going on with your needle and seat. It's stuck. It's got corrosion in it, and you're going to have to pull the float and take the needle out and clean that part of the carburetor. That's not hard to do. You should wear rubber gloves. And also, when you take that nut out, that is your jet. So you want to, that might be clogged up. Make sure that that is cleaned out if you're having gas problems. You can usually use a small paper clip, but make sure that the paper clip is small enough to go through the hole. Don't jam it in there. Never use a drill bit on anything like that. And just use some carburetor cleaner and spray it in there and clean it out and put everything back. And if you that should take care of almost all carburation problems that you're going to come up with that I've run into, other than the possibility that if you've got a bunch of gook in the tank, in the gas tank, it could have clogged up your little, a lot of times they have these little petcocks that'll open and close and allow gas to come from the tank through the fuel line into your carburetor. And if you've got gook or you used ethanol fuel, sometimes those little petcocks will get gummed up and gooked up, and you might wind up having to go up underneath the gas tank and pull that and clean it.
Well said. What I do is I use like number 12 gauge stranded wire, and I take one strand, maybe a couple inches long, and I use that to clean out the little tiny jets in the carburetor orifices, because they're really, really tiny. We'll be right back talking about spark plugs.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Short segment, so we're going to have to go quickly, class. Now, spark plugs. Let's say you have a six-cylinder engine, gasoline engine. You might have six spark plugs. If you have a Mercedes, you might have 12. And when you take out the spark plugs, you can read them. That means that you can tell a lot about the engine's condition just by looking at the spark plugs. So instead of taking them all out and putting them in a pile, what we do is we take a piece of cardboard and we punch the number of holes in this piece of cardboard that the engine, the number of spark plugs. So if it's a six spark plug engine, we have six holes and we mark them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we put the spark plugs in this piece of cardboard upside down so we can read the business end of the spark plug, meaning where the electrodes are, the center electrode and the side electrode. And what you can see is whether there's carbon buildup, whether there's soot, whether they're just worn, or whether the engine's running normally. And you can compare each cylinder to see, and they should all be the same, okay? The wear on the engine will show on the spark plug. So if they're sooty and black, you might have an oil problem, meaning the rings are bad, or the valve seals are bad. And you can see all this, or you can see whether the engine is, the spark plugs are running too hot, or whether they're fouled with deposits from the fuel that you're using. And we have one engine that comes in, it's a, I think it's a 5.3 General Motors, like 2011, something like that, 2013. And this darn thing has one spark plug that's bad all the time. Same one, all the time. And the engine runs lousy. So every time this owner gets an oil change, we pull the spark plug out, put it through our spark plug cleaner. We have one of those. And if we can clean it, we clean it. If not, we replace it. And then the engine runs great until the next oil change. So there are things that you can do. And if you want to look it up, you can go to the internet and you can type in spark plug reading chart. Spark plug reading, R-E-A-D-I-N-G. And you will see all of these conditions where broken electrodes, oil fouled, soot fouled, and normal conditions. Kyle, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And the thing to think about is if you've got your little lawnmower and it's a single cylinder or even a twin cylinder, or your rototiller or any of these other, yard use implements that you've got, you only have one So it's critical that that thing runs good and stays in good shape. Every spring, I will pull the spark plug out of, like, my rototiller or anything like that, and I'll clean it after I look it over, make sure that I'm kind of just like Ben said, you're going to have to learn this stuff, folks, because if things continue as they are, you're going to wind up having to do a lot of this stuff yourself because you're not going to be able to afford to buy a new one, because if we enter hyperinflation, I could see people starting to have to try to get a loan to buy a rototiller, you know, if this continues on. But in any case, you should have an extra spark plug anyway for your rototillers, at least one ahead. Buy it at the fall or in the spring or whenever you can get it. Get one, two, or three of them. If you know you're going to keep it and it's a really good quality machine, buy a couple, three air filters for it. Buy the oil that you use in it and keep it, you know. Use the recommended spark plug and make sure that the gap is right on the spark plug when you put it back in your rototiller or your lawnmower or whatever like that, because it'll tell you. You can look up on the internet now, and then you should write that down somewhere with a black magic marker or something along the side of your engine. That's what I do, because who cares how pretty the lawnmower looks, you know. I write it on the side of the engine what the gap is going to be, what it needs to be for the spark plug, so that the timing of that is engineered into the lawnmower, the rototiller, whatever it is, that spark plug gap stays the same.
Okay. And yeah. What I always do, class, even though it's not recommended, I always put copper coat, which is a paste that is made of very fine copper particles mixed with oil. And it comes in an 8-ounce little brush type jar, brushes in the cap. And I put a very thin film of copper coat on the threads of the spark plug and a little bit on the gasket if it has one. If it doesn't, if it has a tapered seat, I put some on there too. So that way I don't wear out the threads of the cylinder head, because a lot of cylinder heads are made out of aluminum. And they go in easy, the spark plugs go in easier, and the copper coat also transfers heat from the spark plug to the head, which is what it's supposed to do. And so that's what I do, and I call the spark plug manufacturers, and they say, don't do it. They go, okay, whatever you guys say. I do it anyway. They say it has it built in. I don't believe it. And maybe it does, but it doesn't have as good of an anti-seize compound as copper coat, so I put it on. But you want to make sure you do not get it on the center electrode or the side electrode, okay? And I have an old device called a Vixen, V-I-X-E-N, spark plug cleaner. It is pneumatic, attaches to my compressor, it uses a carborundum type dust, and I push the button and it blasts abrasive against the spark plugs. I clean them and then I wipe them off and I brush, dry them off with an air compressor nozzle, and then I rinse it clean with a can of spray lubricant, like the Chinese factory outlet spray lubricant. You don't want any abrasive from the spark plug cleaning to go into the engine. Kyle, any quick comments?
Well, if you haven't got that, you can get by with a wire brush. Better something than nothing.
Yeah. There you go. Kyle, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.